Welcome. Thursday, the morning show with Preston Scott, show number 4336. Dallas Rogers over there in Studio 1A. I'm here in Studio 1B. It's October 1st.
Oh, I'm just ebullient at the thought. Oh, my gosh. What a wonderful thing that is. We are now in the home stretch.
We now move into the holiday season. Although for me, it started in July. You know, it always does. Every July, I start actively looking for potential Christmas gifts. We already have a few stowed away. Just a few. But I do have a list on my phone. I pay very close attention to things that my family comments on, observes, and so forth. But welcome to the broadcast. If you are watching on Facebook Live, I'm leaving the shot up there for just a little bit of extra time. The two eagles are in the nest at Berry College. And so if you are interested, head on over to Facebook Live, facebook.com/Preston Scott Show. And you can watch the silliness that is the radio program on your screen. Whatever. It is what it is. People enjoy it. And there's a little family of followers on Facebook Live. And it's growing a little bit all the time. It's not like we're going to pull in Nielsen's on this thing. We're not going to be nominated for an Emmy. We're just pushing buttons and trying to keep cameras on and focused and so forth. It's just, you can watch the radio program and there's just something funny about that. Our verse of the day, Ecclesiastes 12:13. I don't know. It seems to make sense to have the video on the eagles as I speak scripture. I don't know. There's just something that makes sense to me about that. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Now all has been heard. I love this. I love this. I love this. I love this. In the era of enlightenment, which, by the way, the Bible said was going to come, that there would come a time when knowledge would expand so quickly. And we are in an era just like that. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. When it seems like God is silent in culture, he's not. There's nothing to add. The commandments that are referred to there, that's Old Testament, Ecclesiastes, Old Testament. You segue to the New Testament and the New Covenant, and Jesus boiled all those 10 down to 2. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. It's not a narcissistic kind of love of self. It is an appreciation of who God made you to be and loving other people. If you think about it, what a brilliant thing to do, to take the Ten Commandments and boil them down to 2 simple admonitions: love God and love people. If you do that, you're not going to be caught up in all this other stuff. What I love about this verse, though, is talk about a time and place where there's so much noise, right? Just noise everywhere, and it applies today to today. Okay, we've heard everything. We've heard it all. Love God. Keep his commands. There you go. Boom, boom. There it is. And, you know, sometimes I talk to people that feel like their prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling, and sometimes it does feel that way. Especially when you are not in fellowship with God. And broken fellowship doesn't mean broken relationship. Broken fellowship is communication, lines of communication. And so what you do is you get things right. You reestablish communication. So sometimes it feels like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling because you're not in right relationship. Other times it feels that way just because there's an oppression that's kind of hanging around, and you just got to keep punching away at it. So hang in there. But always do a little self-reflection. 10 minutes after the hour, come back with this date in history and more. Just starting up Thursday on the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Yeah, baby.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Little minutes after the hour, the Morning Show. How you doing today?
Not bad.
Yeah? I wasn't ready to see you in the white shirt.
Well, for some reason, today that when the AC, the Arctic Blast turned on, it was only on for about 30 seconds. And then as soon as it shut off, it's hot in this room today.
Go figure.
Which is weird because now it's cool outside.
Yeah, I know. I think that's the thing. It's not coming on because the outside temperature's not forcing it on.
Mm-hmm.
But it just surprised me. Because you know, I'm starting to wear longer sleeves, and it may not last, but till you know the end of the week, I don't know. But we're heading 81 today. Then it's going to cool off again. But at any rate, this date in history. Let's work backwards. 1971, Disney World opens in Orlando. On this date, it is the number one tourist attraction in the world. Disney World in Orlando. Isn't that interesting? Not Disneyland. Disney World. More on that later.
Mm-hmm.
1942, the first U.S. jet, the Bell XP-59A, makes its maiden flight in California. 1924, Jimmy Carter, born in Plains, Georgia. 1908, Henry Ford introduces the Model T, priced at $850. 1890, Yosemite National Park is established. By the way, speaking of the national parks, did you see the video that Ed told us about, Dr. Moore? On our Facebook page. He said, link to this.
The bear?
Yes. Yeah. He came up upon it just after it happened. He was there. And what an awesome display of, wow, that bear just, yeah. I mean, it's a little frightening and awe-inspiring all at once. But, yeah, check it out on the Facebook page. But just be warned, it is, you know, it's nature, okay? 1811, the first steamboat to travel down the Mississippi River in New Orleans reaches its namesake city after a month-long trip from Pittsburgh. Huh? From Pittsburgh? How about that? And then there's this, and this has some attached trivia to it. October 1st, 1996, Congress declared Agnes Gonsha Bojahu, maybe I'm totally butchering the pronunciation, I'm doing the best I can, better known as Mother Teresa, as an honorary citizen of the United States. On this date, 1996, she, a native of what is now the Republic of Macedonia, obviously spent her life helping people. But it brought up the question, how many honorary citizens of this country are there? Winston Churchill was named an honorary citizen.
Okay.
Raoul Wallenberg, Swedish businessman, saved tens of thousands of Hungarian Jews from the Nazis. William Penn was named an honorary citizen in 1984, the English Quaker founded Pennsylvania. The Marquis de Lafayette, this is cool, who French soldier, statesman, fought alongside the Americans during the Revolutionary War.
That's the guy in the Patriot movie, the French guy that was with Mel Gibson's character, right?
In essence, yes.
Roughly based on him?
Yes.
Yeah.
An American flag flies over his grave in Paris.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's real cool.
And Kazimierz Pulaski was the most recent. In 2009, a Polish soldier and nobleman who fought in the Revolutionary War became known as the father of the American cavalry. He died of his wounds, fighting for our country. Those are stories about our founding we don't tell anymore.
Yeah.
And they're amazing stories. 16 minutes after the hour, when we come back, Burger King does a little trolling. And we got to share it next.
WFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
This is crazy!
And iHeart's radio station.
Barry College Bald Eagles on the Facebook Live feed right now. They're in the same nest together. You know what I'm saying? Keeping just a little distance, sprucing up the place. Next thing you know, a little Barry White music's going to be playing. Little Al Green.
The Reverend Green.
Anyway, all right. Burger King. It turns out when somebody complains on a Facebook page for a business, anybody can respond to that, right? I mean, yeah. You don't think about that. You don't think about the fact that, well, I mean, if you can post, anybody can post. And so, unless you shut the whole thing down, and then what's the point, right? So, McDonald's, when they get complaints, now finds the Burger King franchisees in Denmark, Burger King Denmark. They've hired an agency called Uncle Gray. And what they've decided to do, because what they're really pushing out, and it'll be interesting to see if this makes its way to the States. Because I think this is brilliant. It's not, you know, oh my God. It's very simple. They noticed that people would complain on the McDonald's website about things, for example. And there's nothing, I mean, this is all waited. We waited 2 hours in McDrive. And another one, we only got one bun on our Big Mac. Well, what they decided to do is they decided as Burger King to reply to all of the complaints on the McDonald's website with a free coupon for a Whopper. And so They go on there, and it's part of their customer service thing. Burger King Denmark is promising to reply to anyone's complaint within 48 hours. And so as a way of drumming up it kind of a little publicity for that initiative, they are now responding to customer complaints on the McDonald's Facebook page with a voucher for a free Whopper. And so it goes something like this. Here's the we waited 2 hours in McDrive. Burger King then responds, well, everyone can have a slow day in fast food. Here's a quick Whopper. Then there's another one. We only got one bun and a Big Mac. The response, Big Mac convertible? How innovative. Here's a two-bun Whopper. Now, here's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for Wendy's to jump in. Now, I don't know if Wendy's is in Denmark.
They're the best. They're savage.
They are the best.
Yeah.
At social media. There's no, I mean, I personally think that across industries, all industries, whoever's sitting in there writing their stuff is the best of the best that's out there.
Yeah.
And they're not making enough money. No matter how much they're paying them, they're not making enough money because they are the best. And so I started to think, what would Wendy's say about all of this? I mean, it could be epically funny if Wendy's did weigh in on it.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't seen that yet. I just think it's smart marketing is what it is. It's very smart of Burger King to jump out there and to do this. It's the type of thing that would go very well because you know what it is? It's free advertising. Social media is free advertising. Mm-hmm. If you get something going that generates news attention, you've just done a multi-million dollar ad campaign for nothing. Absolutely not a penny. And so I'm always intrigued by people. I'm not that smart when it comes to social media. I guess I'm not snarky enough, or I don't want to be. I don't want to be snarky, that snarky, although I can be. it's an accident. It's not like I'm trying. I can be. Nothing I'm necessarily proud of at the moment, but at any rate, I admire people that are clever in responding in the marketplace. I think that's really smart. 27 minutes after the hour. The big stories in the press box, a little bit different today. Stay with us. We'll unveil those next.
5 minutes and he'll give you something to talk about. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
All right, big story in the press box is really business, economy, job related. Disney laying off 28,000 cast members, otherwise known as employees. Get your mind around that number for just a second.
Yeah, I know.
28,000. Why? Primarily because of what's happening in California. They have begged California to let them find a way to reopen. Won't do it. Won't do it. California's Health and Human Services Secretary told Fox Business, the state's number one priority is to lead with public health, to slow the spread of the virus, to begin reopening our economy, get Californians back to work safely. Sustainably. Reopening plan driven by science to keep the risk of COVID-19 transmission low. I hate to tell you. Dallas and I were just talking. I got another story here, and I'm not going to take time on it much today. The former chief science officer for Pfizer has given an interview. There's no science to suggest a second wave should happen. False positive results result from inherently unreliable COVID tests are being used to manufacture a second wave based on, quote, new cases. We've shared stories of tests not being taken that were declared positives. We've shared stories of labs sending in, just for giggles, unswabbed test kits to see what kind of result they got back. They got back 100% positive. They weren't even used. I mean, the list goes on and on. In the interview, Dr. Mike Yeadon, were it not for the test data that you get from the TV all the time, you would rightly conclude that the pandemic was over, as nothing much has happened. Of course, people go to the hospital, moving to the autumn flu season, but there is no science to suggest a second wave should happen. He said, if you look at the data shows that deaths and hospitalizations flatlined the end of June. Anyway. Second part of the big story in the press box, U.S. private employers added almost 750,000 jobs in September. That topped expectations. So while everybody on the Democrat side of the aisle continues to spin the idea that the economy is reeling and this is all President Trump's fault, completely ignoring that prior to the pandemic, the economy for 3+ years was on a straight trajectory up. Completely. they're still gaining jobs above expectations, and it's being ignored. It's as if a tree fell in the middle of a forest and no one heard it, so therefore it must not have made a sound. It's just important for you to keep a handle on things. I am convinced more than ever that Democrats are doing everything they can to put strangleholds on parts of the economy where they can control it. If Joe Biden wins election, you watch how these cities miraculously change their mandates and their orders. I guarantee it. But I personally think Trump will win comfortably his reelection. We'll have to see. 40 minutes after the hour.
Show with Preston Scott.
Hello!
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
All righty. 41 minutes after the hour. Speaking of left and right, President, former Vice President, the debate. I didn't know we had a Presidential Debate Commission. Whatever. The Commission on Presidential Debates. Okay. Changing format. I did a little commentary today on it. I think the best answer is to let them do Lincoln Douglas. Sit them down at a table. Roll tape. Run cameras. Turn it on. Hand them a topic. No moderator other than your topic is blank. And let them talk. Let them get engaged in a conversation.
Do you really think that they'd end up in a conversation?
I do think they would. I think you said a very important word there. I think they would end up in one.
Yeah, but how long?
I don't know.
Take.
But it couldn't be worse than what we just observed.
No, it couldn't.
But you would remove Chris Wallace, who's a registered Democrat, who was very clearly, look, he was Chris Wallace. Chris loves being that guy. And that's fine. You know, whatever. I think that's, look, it's supposed to be a debate. Let them debate. Get everybody else out of the way. I would rather see that. Seriously, put them on the opposite ends of a big table and let them talk. However, I had more than a few people tell me that Biden had a device and they showed a picture and he had something on his wrist and then they linked to a business called Savox, and Savox makes communication devices, among other things, for all high-end stuff, for military, police, fire, security detail, work detail, business, all different kinds of stuff, and saying it could have been this. No, there was no listening device. First of all, there are a couple things. Unless you are a trained broadcast professional, and you are accustomed to having someone speak in your ear while you're doing your job, describing, for example, in play-by-play, you have a producer that is always talking. He'll or she'll lay out from time to time, but they're always feeding you information, telling you what's going to be on the camera, reminding you of a little stat that might be appropriate at a given moment. You always have someone talking in your ear. Unless you are trained, when someone speaks to you while you're talking, you stop talking. And your eyes get kind of big because you're thinking, you're concentrating on what they're saying to you. Joe Biden did not have an earpiece. He did. Look, Joe Biden should be credited. It was an extremely low bar, but he passed it. He was there. He was engaged. He was fairly well prepped. He was just as rude as the president. The president was three times more frequently rude, but they were equally rude to each other. but there was no device. I just had some fun What was likely on his wrist, what you saw, is the tip of a rosary that he wears in honor of his late son. And I'm going to give him that. You know what I mean? I mean, he wears it all the time. It's to remember Bo. His son died prematurely of cancer, I believe it was, a few years ago. I respect that. I respect that he remembers his son. And good for him. That, as a dad, man, I get that. I absolutely do. So, I just poked a little fun in my commentary now about what was on his wrist, and then I ended it right there. But no, there was no listening device. Let's just stop that, okay? 46 minutes after the hour.
Sense of sensibility. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Yeah, we were just talking about the story, the kid in the center of that shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Kyle Rittenhouse is suing Joe Biden and his campaign for libel. And and I'm guessing maybe slander, but libel for now. On behalf of Kyle Rittenhouse, I shall sue Joe Biden and Biden-Harris campaign for libel. I am partisan in 2020, supporting real Donald Trump. I'm a nonpartisan trial lawyer who aggressively pursues truth to achieve justice. Put in your hearing aid, Joe. You will hear footsteps. Yeah, the Biden campaign has, and Joe Biden himself tweeted out, it's under his name, so he becomes then, you know, there's no other way to put it. The president of the United States refused to disavow white supremacists on the debate stage last night. And, you know, it's, yeah. And it relates to Kyle. Here's another problem Biden has. And this is, again, everybody's spinning. Everybody's, you know, doing everything they can to paint Donald Trump as a white supremacist. And nothing could be further from the truth. They're still lying about his remarks in Charlottesville. I've read the transcript published by the Los Angeles Times. How many times does someone have to say, no, white supremacy's wrong? And at some point, you just quit responding, because people, how long does it take for no to be no? How many times do you have to say no? You know, no. In sexual assault, no means no. You don't have to say it 50,000 times. You just say it. No. Biden said in the debate that he doesn't support the Green New Deal. Quoting, the Green New Deal is not my plan. True. It's not. It's AOC's plan. No, I don't support the Green New Deal. I support the Biden plan I put forward, which is different than what Trump calls the Green New Deal. Well, first of all, hold on. Trump's not calling it that. AOC named it that. Number two, your website says you do support it. Biden believes the Green New Deal is a crucial framework for meeting the climate challenges we face. That's what it says on his website. Which is it? See, Joe, in the televised debate, tried very hard to sound more moderate. His platform, his handlers, his administration will be extreme, extreme, extreme left. It's on his website, but he says, I don't support the Green New Deal. It's not my plan. I don't support, that's a quote, I don't support the Green New Deal. And why does your web, see, Chris Wallace should have said, then why is it on your website?
Yeah. Point it out.
This, though, is what tops that. Lindsey Graham yesterday in a hearing with James Comey. You don't remember getting an investigatory lead from the intelligence community September 7, 2016? U.S. intelligence officials forwarded an investigative referral to James Comey and Strzok regarding Clinton's approval of a plan about Trump as a means of distraction? Comey, that doesn't ring any bells with me. They have documents that show James Comey was notified that the entire Russia thing was concocted by the Clinton campaign. And now he has the temerity to say, I just don't remember that. Bunch of crap to be used against an American citizen. You don't recall this? Comey. Doesn't sound familiar. Steve Stewart next. And here we go. Hour number two of the morning show with Preston Scott. And I'm starting to get cues from Steve Stewart on when to talk.
I was just letting you know I was ready.
He pointed at me like, well. Yeah, he is the executive editor of Tallahassee Reports, the website TallahasseeReports.com. All kinds of stories. In fact, you're going to get stories there you're just not going to get anywhere else. Whether it's the electronic media in town, or whether it's the other print media in town, you're just not going to get it. Steve, how are you?
I'm good. Doing great. A lot of stuff going on?
Yeah, there's an awful lot of stuff going on. There's a very, very important ballot measure that is going to be on the Leon County ballot. And I still don't think that enough people understand the gravity of this. It creates a new taxing entity.
Separate independent taxing district is going to raise $8 million in new property taxes.
Can I ask you to stop for a second?
Yes.
When you say district, I think people intuitively read that as a geographical term.
Right.
It is not. It is the entire county would receive another tax.
Exactly. They call it an independent taxing district.
Right.
And it can be a cutout like a CRA, or it can be the county. This is the county. And mm-hmm. So they're going to tax every piece of property in Leon County with about a half a mil, which raises $8 million a year. And we know how that changes as property values increase. So they're saying it's going to be $96 million over 12 years.
Right.
It's probably going to be $150 million over 12 years. And the reason we use 12 years is that's once you voted in, you don't get a chance to vote it out again for 12 years unless there's some major issues and the county has to take over the plate, the district or the budget, which, and they have to assume the debt. So it's a big step. And I don't want, this is about children's services. So who can be against the children, Preston? And that's sort of the point. I think we all argue that there are issues here in the community. The question is this the answer? There are some good people that are trying to get this through that think that this is the answer. There's a lot of evidence that indicates that it's not. And so
where is that evidence found in other communities that have done something similar?
Yeah. Well, they're holding out that, listen, there are other counties that have done this and there are, but there's not overwhelming evidence or even really I can find any good evidence. And this is one of the three questions that I'm trying to get answered is that there's not really this tie to we put money in this improved and here's the measurement. Now they argue that, hey, listen, we're going to measure the outcome of these programs to show that they're working. Well, why haven't we done that?
Well, I'm just gonna
now.
Don't the city and county designate funds to go to certain organizations for this exact purpose?
We have $4 million in what they call the CHSP, which is a human services program. We talked about this. There's 84 programs. So, on average, that's $50,000. And so one of our questions that we're trying to get answered is, look, name three programs that we use currently, that we support with money, that you have shown that you put this money in, and this is the outcome. And we're going to try to get answers to that. But I don't think that these programs lend themselves well to doing that. And so what happened yesterday was, instead of painting this as, oh, this is just Republicans or conservatives that, don't want this tax increase, it's only going to be $50 a month on your bill. We had a press conference with Jeremy Matlow and Commissioner Bill Proctor standing next to the networks of entrepreneurs and business advocates and some other budget hawks, you know, that are looking at spending, saying, listen, this is not something we want to do. It's not the most efficient way to do it. And they said, listen, we're willing to spend money on children's services, but we don't think it should be given to a new bureaucratic group that is not answerable to the electorate only once every 12 years. And so Commissioner Matlow and Commissioner Proctor are against this, along like with this, I said, with NEBA. But that doesn't mean they're against raising money and putting them in children programs. They just think it should be tied more to officials here that can be held accountable.
And a budgetary process that is hopefully looked at and transparent.
Exactly.
All right. Steve Stewart with me. We're going to pick up there. There's more to talk about in this. We'll talk about that for just a moment, as well as get to the community COVID reaction to the governor's decision earlier in the week. We'll get to that. It's 10 minutes after the hour. Steve Stewart with me on The Morning Show.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
It's The Morning Show with Preston Scott on WFLA.
Eleven minutes after the hour, The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Dallas Rogers over there at Studio 1A. I am here in Studio 1B with Steve Stewart of Tallahassee Reports. Just quick correction. It's not $50 a month. It's
like $50 a year.
And that's the allure. It's just and fill in the blank.
Right. Well, and the point here is, I get $50. My issue is it going to do anything? You know, I mean, and at some point you got to start saying, look, you're giving money to this group. They're going to create this group. One of the concerns, one of the questions is about administrative cost. Okay. So the director of the Children's Services Council in Palm Beach County makes about $250,000 a year. So do we really need, so that's an issue, and that's a question. One of the other questions we talked about was identifying the three programs. The other thing is, why do we need, if we determine there is a need, okay, and I think you could, and you know, if you look at it and you say this is a program that works, we just need more resources. Well, then why can't the city or county commission allocate that money? Why do we need to create a new bureaucracy? Now, I want to be fair here. There are a number of upstanding citizens that support this move. I mean, the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce supports it. The Mayor Daley supports it. Commissioner Brian DeLoge is supporting it. So I don't want to be so one-sided here.
Me do that.
Yeah, well, no, and the point is...
They support it, Steve, because it sounds like they should.
Right, and the reason why I think it's a big deal is because you're talking about property tax. This is something that's going to go... It's going to go in to the calculation of businesses moving here. I mean, you're going to look at what your taxes are. And so this is a big deal from that standpoint. And so I want people to understand that this is a complicated subject. There are people on both sides. It is not, as a lot of issues are, you know, one thing or another. As you can see by the coalition that spoke yesterday, there's a lot of decent reasons to oppose it and still support children's services.
Yes. Mine would be write a check. Find an organization you like and write a check privately to them. I tend to back up and say, okay, over the course of 10 years, give or take, we're going to have $100 million more dollars sucked out of the private economy, because that's money that cannot be spent on stuff.
Exactly. And again, I'm if you show me a program that is working, that is changing the lives of children, and we just don't have enough money, then we can reallocate. I mean, they were arguing... Commissioner Proctor is arguing that there's enough money in the system right now. We just got to reallocate it. And, you know, I would, you know, could support that. I mean, so why create a new bureaucracy? But anyway, this is something that the voters are going to have to, you know, understand the dynamics, and then they're going to get to vote for it. That's the good news, that it is on the ballot. But it's going to be a complicated topic, and there's going to be a lot of advertising on both sides, I think, here in the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Governor Ron DeSantis, a week ago tomorrow, and he'll join us tomorrow on the show, made the decision to push all 67 counties into phase 3. The COVID numbers here locally, the reaction locally?
Yeah, well, so first of all, the COVID numbers are crashing locally. I mean, the positivity rate is back to where it was before the spike from the FSU students returning.
We got a bunch of people obviously then heading to the hospital and dying, though.
The thing is the hospitalization has never even peaked when the cases peaked. because of when we've discussed this, they don't go to the hospital. That's why they're in line. They don't have a problem with it. So hospitalizations have been going down to new lows almost every week. When you look at the average number of cases are below 50. If you look at our zip code report that we published on Sunday, I think 7 out of the 10 zip codes have showed 3-week trends going down. 32304 is the only one that had over 100 cases in that week. Everything else, I think there were less than 100.
How many in this spike in 32304, how many of those people do we, any way of knowing, guesstimating how many of them ended up in the hospital?
I would argue probably none, less than 5, because the numbers that I saw, 48,000 students across the country, university students, college students, had COVID, and there were like 5 hospitalizations. So those numbers are going down. But the county, you know, it's starting to look a little political. I mean, they want to stay in phase 2. And obviously, you know, they're looking at the stats from, and again, from a public safety standpoint, they're arguing that, yes, we're back to where we were, which is the numbers are good, but we haven't sustained that. So now the argument is we've got to sustain that. But, you know, I was out last night at a restaurant. Did not see a lot of masks, and the restaurant was probably as full as I've seen it in 6 months. So,
wish you'd have told me that before you came in this studio, pal.
Hey, we're social distancing, man.
Whatever you say, Steve. 16 minutes after the hour, Steve Stewart with me for one more segment.
My mask on.
WFLA at WFLAFM.com, on your phone with the iHeartRadio app, and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos, and iHeart's radio station.
The unofficial theme song, unofficial, of, I'm not going to get even trademarked. Problem here.
I'm not paying for this.
Yeah, no copyright issues here. Steve Stewart, executive editor, Tallahassee Reports. Subscribe, get that paper, TallahasseeReports.com. And let's start with Brain Pop. I talked about it a little bit in the last few weeks. Brain Pop is a program that's in all Leon County schools. It's been highlighted because of the online education, right?
Yeah, it's a third-party content provider. There's a couple different levels of story. And the school, Leon County Schools, is working with me trying to get some answers on this. Because, to be honest with you, I think they're a little bit concerned about exactly what's happening here, too. Third-party content is generated by third parties, and this is national content. They address subjects, and some of the stuff is pretty good. I mean, when it's just factual stuff, they put videos. But the problem is, unlike a book that you approve, you know, you look through it and you give it to the schools to teach, the book doesn't change, right?
And this content changes and evolves all the time.
It changes, and they've been uploading some videos. There's a BLM video that was uploaded that caused some problems around the state that we saw in a couple different locations. And here also, we got some phone calls about it. If you look at it, we did a story about it. It's so one-sided. It's, you know, I would not want my kid to watch that without some, another point of view. Now, the problem is we don't know if teachers are actually teaching the BLM video in school, or if it's just that kids and parents are going to the app and seeing it.
And accessing it.
Because they have access. Yeah. And what they did in Sarasota is they removed it from their suite of, I don't know how they did that, but they did. And then you could get it if you requested it. But this is a bigger problem than just this Brain Pop and just this video. There's other third-party content that is being taught and that's being used in schools. There's a thing called Sanford Harmony, which addresses gender issues. And so, you know, we're looking into this. I don't, you know, I think it's a bad trend, especially given the criticism that schools on a whole are left-leaning and they're teaching these left-leaning issues. And to that point, at a school board meeting last week, out of the blue, one of the school board members, Daryl Jones, asked if anybody was teaching conversion therapy in Leon County schools. And even the school board members were sort of taken aback, like, where did this come from? You know, do you have any evidence that this is being taught? And so I think this... And I bring that up to say this, is that I think the whole thing of what's being taught in schools on these controversial issues is becoming an issue. And we get a lot of tips the more tips, the better. I would like to, the Sanford Harmony thing, we got a tip on that because it was on the agenda, and you go and look at their website, and if you go to Sanford Harmony's website, it's being endorsed by Mayor Bill de Blasio. So that's the first red flag you would get.
And you're referring to Sanford Harmony being what?
A third-party content
provider
about emotional security and things like this.
Oh,
okay,
boy.
So that's another one. So the point would be this, is I think we need to start figuring out what we're actually being taught in schools. I mean, one of the things I asked was, is anybody teach? Is there a video out there or a third-party content that's teaching about the strength of keeping families together?
Right.
You know, so, I mean, if we're going to do this, you know, why aren't we? So anyway, we're going to be looking into this. It's not going to be anything rash. Like I said, we're working with Leon County Schools to try to figure out exactly how this stuff gets approved and what, you know, what regulations there are.
And how do they monitor the content ongoing?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think this is the issue.
All right. We got about 90 seconds. Crime numbers.
Crime numbers. So we're doing, wanted to give you an update. We've seen an increase in crime incidents. And yep. I was getting concerned of, listen, we're taking... This is stuff that we're doing at Taos Reports. It's exclusive. We're taking the crime reports, incident reports that come out every day, encoding them in a spreadsheet. We've been doing it for over a year, provides some really good information. And so we checked with the police department to make sure that our data is reporting what it's reporting. And it is about incidents. It's not about crimes, because one incident can lead to three charges. So it's a different measure. But it does show you a general idea of what's happening in terms of incidents, because it's real-time data. I mean, we get a report today from yesterday,
yeah,
and we put it in. The bad news is that violent crime incidents reported is increasing. If you look at August over August last year, it's up 65% based on the incidents. Same thing in September. It's still staying elevated. And so it's something that we want to keep an eye on. But when I talk about violent crime, I'm talking about assaults, talking about armed robbery. These are not property crimes. And so it's something we definitely need to keep an eye on, because the UCR report that comes out, that's lag data. I mean, you get data from January to June. You get it like the, you know, 3 months after it happens. This is stuff that is real time, when you can actually say, listen, we've got a trend developing here. And so I think it's something, again, good reason to subscribe to Tallahassee Reports. This is something nobody else is doing.
TallahasseeReports.com. That's how you go and start the subscription process. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Preston.
Steve Stewart joins us each and every Thursday and gets us caught up on all things going on in town and the community and the county and the schools and the, yeah. 27 minutes after the hour, Bill Zimfer on deck.
Known as Mr. Know-It-All. The Morning Show with Preston Scott. News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
And here we are. It's Thursday on the Morning Show, October the 1st. I'm giddy. I love the fact that we're finally into October. I'm a happy man for that. And we are joined by Bill Zimfer. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Good morning, Preston. Not quite as giddy about the beginning of October, but yeah, I'm with you.
Well, you are in a different part of the country now. Are you a winter person? Do you enjoy the season or not at all?
That would be a negative. I do not enjoy winter.
Does it hurt your old bones?
That and many other things.
Okay, fair enough. We just made it across the finish line, huh? They got some money agreed to.
For temporary spending bill, yeah. The president has signed that, and that'll get us into December anyway, when we will be in the midst of that cold weather here that you talked about,
right,
up north anyway. But we're still working on a stimulus plan that we hope can be done, and there is renewed optimism to try to get this done since Nancy Pelosi and Steve Mnuchin have begun talking again this week. And we also got a good sign last night. The House of Representatives came up with a new scaled-back plan, $2.2 trillion, down from their $3 trillion. Yeah, we're throwing around trillions like it's nothing, right?
Oh, it's just $2 trillion
now. Yeah, so... They were going to vote on it last night, Preston, and they did not, which is actually good news.
Yeah.
Because it means that they are going to resume talks with the White House again today and Steve Mnuchin and try to figure something out. Now, Yeah, it is comical that we're throwing around trillions like it's nothing, and that's why you've had Republicans in the Senate saying, hold on a second here. At some point, we got to talk about this, because even now, with the White House indicating that maybe they could go to $1.5 trillion package, it's still $700 billion away from what the Democrats want to do. So it's still an awful lot of money. But this latest thing with the airline industry is providing some impetus to try to get things done. Tens of thousands of layoffs, wheels in motion right now, that those furloughs are going to take place in the airline industry. So there is some momentum here behind a stimulus plan. But we're running out of time. House finishes up their fall session as of Friday, and you know they want to get out of town.
Bill, is anybody, whether group or individually in the House or Senate, speaking against a stimulus package?
No, nobody is speaking against a stimulus package. I think everybody agrees that something is needed, but the scope of that is the issue. We know that the Republicans in the Senate have put out there this skinny stimulus plan, which is $500 billion. Yeah, it seems
paltry.
Like a whole lot of money there.
Paltry, yeah. Sum, sir. Paltry.
Yeah. Democrats have called it not a skinny bill, but an emaciated bill, not near enough. So I don't think anybody says, no, we don't need another stimulus, but it's just the scope of it that is causing the big issue here. Look at the difference between $500 billion and $3.2 trillion.
Let me ask you a trivia question. I don't have the answer to it, so I'm not trying to be, weird here. What's after trillions? Is it quadrillions?
Quadrillions, yeah.
Prediction, do you think we'll ever see a time where we say the word in serious discussions of our budget?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you?
Absolutely.
Oh, that makes my heart hurt.
Maybe not in my lifetime. I'm just saying, I'm an old guy. I don't know. Maybe, but... it may happen.
Kick the ball, kick the can down the road to the next 20 generations, right?
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah.
Thankfully, Friday's upon us, Bill. Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Me too. Thanks, Preston.
All right, Bill Zimfer with us this morning. Tomorrow, of course, the Bill Folder segment here on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. 40 minutes after the hour, Dr. Steve Steverson is next.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
And I live in a van down by the river.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Next hour on the radio program, we're going to take some calls. Do you want there to be a second presidential debate? And if so, what format would you enjoy the most? It's coming up next hour on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. But first... talk about our four-legged friends with Dr. Steve Steverson of the Bradfordville Medical Hospital, Animal Hospital. Sorry about that. Hello, Dr. Steverson. How are you, sir?
Hey, Preston. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're always trying to get a handle on pet populations. I mean, it's campaigns that you see on television. You hear it on the radio. What is the best age to spay and neuter your dog?
You know, Preston, that's interesting. This is a topic that has changed recently. For years, we were advocating for early age spaying and neutering simply because there's so many pets that come from, that are adopted from shelters or from humane organizations, and then the owners never get them spayed or neutered.
Mm-hmm.
So the solution was to have them spayed or neutered before they were ever adopted. So these puppies were getting spayed and neutered at a very, very young age. And for a long time, we thought there wasn't a problem with that. And for a lot of pets, there's not a problem with early age spaying and neutering, say spaying them when, or neutering them when they're less than 5 months of age. But there's been some recent studies that have been done to show that in certain breeds of dogs, especially large breeds of dogs, it's better to wait and probably spay or neuter them when they are a little bit older, somewhere in the neighborhood of 9 months to even over a year of age, rather than spaying them early. And the reason for that is because it can early age spaying neutering, they think, can lead to certain types of cancers and certain joint diseases. And so by letting them mature a little more before they're spayed or neutered, their joints are a little more solid, a little healthier, less chance of injury there, and certain types of cancers are reduced in likelihood by doing that.
Dr. Stevenson, is this information prevalent in your field and as far as even the breeds that really should be considered over and above other breeds? Do most vets know about this?
Yeah, this is an emerging area of knowledge, Preston, from this study. A huge study was done. It's called the Golden Retriever Lifetime Study. And this foundation that put the money up to do this study has been following golden retrievers now for many years through their lifetime. Every year they come in for an exam, and all the data is then sent to this foundation, and they've compiled the data. And so from that, they've now started to look at other large breeds of dogs. I'm saying dogs that are over 70 pounds as an adult. It may even go lower than that, but we're not sure yet. So at this point, if you have a breed of dog, a retriever, a Rottweiler, a Great Dane, they're over 70 pounds when they're an adult, you might want to wait to have them spayed or neutered.
What about cats?
Not as critical for cats. Spaying or neutering a cat at an early age is still something that we advocate for. Just because it's overpopulation of cats is such a tremendous problem, we still recommend the early age spaying and neutering with them.
And there really are more feral cats out there than there are dogs, aren't there?
Very much so. You can have, a cat colony is what we call it, and they can develop and hang out. In fact, there's several in Tallahassee downtown, and they eat from the trash cans behind the restaurants. And next thing you know, you have 20 or 30 cats that are hanging out behind the buildings, and they'll survive and have a great thriving colony if something's not done about them.
I've seen cats living in the larger, they're the sewer openings that the rainwater runs off of. They actually live in there, and it's kind of creepy, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, they don't need clothing. They just need food and shelter.
I've heard rumor that they're East Side and West Side gangs with the cats.
Yeah, that's right. Got to watch out for them.
Dr. Stevenson, as always, thanks for the intel. We'll talk again in a couple weeks, sir.
Great. Thanks, Preston.
Thank you, Dr. Steve Stevenson with the Bradfordville Animal Hospital, my guest. Pause for thought. Hear that? More feral cats. I know, some of you love your cats. Okay, that's why we talk about them. But if it were up to me, 46 minutes after the hour, it's the morning show with Preston Scott.
When you thought you were right. The morning show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
So interesting. I wrote in the rundown yesterday as I was prepping for the show, Pandemic, the sequel with a question mark. I did that before I opened my email this morning. I clear out my email before I go to bed and make sure I have nothing pending at all in my email box. And then I go to bed, and then I get in the morning and begin to prep for the show again, make sure that the things that we're going to talk about are still the things I want to talk about, and that the stories haven't changed, evolved. And sometimes I'll get caught, where something changed and I didn't get the change. I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. But sitting in my email box waiting for me this morning is a story from Hub Pages. And I clicked several links inside of it to verify sources and so forth. And it's from a Dr. Michael Yeadon. It's a story about him. In a stunning development, former chief science officer for pharmaceutical giant Pfizer said in a radio interview. And so I clicked the link and I went and checked out the radio interview that he did. And he said in this, there is no science to suggest a second wave should happen. He asserts that false positive results from inherently unreliable COVID tests are being used to manufacture a second wave based on, quote, new cases. Now, think about this for just a second. First, here's a guy who was the chief science officer for Pfizer. You ever heard of them? Ever heard of Pfizer? Pfizer's a big deal in the pharmaceutical industry. He said, unreliable COVID tests. And it and we don't even think about that though. We've talked about the fact that the testing process has been flawed in the sense that people are sending results and it's coming back positive. People have gone to get, you know, tested and they've found that there's a 3 and a 4 hour wait and they're like, yeah, no, I'm not going through that today. I don't have time. And then they get a text because they registered for testing, but they didn't stay to be tested. They get a text saying, you've tested positive for COVID. We've forgotten this. We've forgotten that the very baseline we're using for all of this is flawed.
Yeah.
Now we have someone that is saying, we are not going to have a second pandemic because all of the evidence says it's over. There will be no second wave. So now step back and ask yourself, why are we already beginning to hear the rumblings of preparations for a second shutdown, second wave, second whatever? He said in June, the deaths and the hospitalizations flatlined across the world, around the globe. And that's why when we were talking with Steve Stewart about numbers in Leon County, that becomes a very important point. So we had this massive spike of cases around Florida State University or the University of Florida or any college campus and city. So what? And I know what the argument is. But they can carry it to other people that are vulnerable. So if you're vulnerable, don't ever go out again. Because the reality is the flu's coming too. It happens every year.
Time to construct the bubble.
Right. Go buy one. Go make one. Stay home. I'm serious now.
Yeah.
This is a big deal. And now FSU's canceled spring break?
Christmas is next. They're just going to cancel Christmas.
You don't want to know what my reaction was when I got that news yesterday in my study at home. What? Who the are they to?
Right.
Come on. Anyway. Yeah. 56, almost 57 minutes after the hour. Show with Preston Scott. Good morning. Dallas Rogers over there, Studio 1A. I'm here in Studio 1B. It is Thursday, October the 1st. Phone lines are open. We're going to take calls in just a few minutes. I'll set up a couple things here, but want to hear from you, and I want to get your thoughts on this debate discussion. Should there be a second debate? If so, what format? Love to hear your thoughts on this. It would seem that most people think that what happened the other night was really a waste of time. Although you will be shocked to learn. Did you hear about the Telemundo poll on the debate? 66% of the viewers picked Trump as the winner of the debate. 66%. Isn't that interesting? And here's the next question. Why wouldn't you be told that? Because the narrative of minorities liking this president isn't welcome. It isn't. It just isn't. So I want to know very succinctly, debate two, yes or no? And if yes, what format?
And if no, under what condition would you be interested in a second debate? And there may be none. That it could be entirely possible that you just have zero interest in this. You know who you're voting for. You have no need to hear anything more. And I think, honestly, that's where a lot of people are. I think a lot of people are like, there's nothing that's going to get said that's going to change my opinion. I support Joe Biden. No matter what he says or does, that's who I'm voting for. Same thing with Trump supporters. It doesn't matter what he says or does. He's not going to lose my support. He's not going to lose my vote. And so there's that. But there's a great number of people in this country that will decide the outcome of this election that are undecided. Or at least say they are. I am not discounting the possibility that the mainstream media has created such an environment, that social media has created such an environment for anyone who may support Donald Trump that they simply won't say so. They'll just go vote privately because their votes are private, and they'll just let that result speak for itself. And I think that's what's going to happen here. I absolutely do. And so, again, it's just very simple. All right, big story in the press box. U.S. private employers added 749,000 jobs in September. The expectation was for 650,000 jobs, so almost 100,000 jobs more than what was expected. Across most industries, the biggest gains taking place in manufacturing. Think about that. Manufacturing had the biggest job gains in the month of September. That was a field that Barack Obama said was gone forever. And yet manufacturing had more of those jobs than any other sector. Transportation and utilities up 186,000. So that means that sector was actually higher than manufacturing. Manufacturing added 130,000. Transportation, utilities up 186. Healthcare, social assistance up 101,000. Leisure and hospitality up 92,000. Professional and business services increased by 78,000. Construction added 60,000. So jobs were up more than was expected. However, on the downside, Disney's laying off for good 28,000 workers. Most of those, about 60+% are part-timers. But to a part-timer, that might even be more important. That's their job that either makes the ends meet, or that's their job to sustain while they do this. The state, meaning California's unwillingness to lift restrictions that would allow Disneyland to reopen, are the chief reason why this is happening, And so once again, you see Democrats shutting down aspects of day-to-day life, damaging the economy, and they're willing to do that. Think about that. They're willing to sacrifice people to accomplish their political goals. And I do, yes, I do believe that. 10 minutes after the hour, your call's next. 850-205-WFLA.
Morning show with Preston Scott.
You're killing me, Smalls.
News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Do I scream? Do I shout? 12 minutes after the hour, go to your phone calls. We're asking a simple question. A second debate, yes or no? If so, what format? If not, what would get you to say yes to another debate? Let's go to Rob. Hi, Rob. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. Absolutely. I think we need to start by reminding both of them that they are fighting for the leadership of the free world, that the entire world looks at our country. And we need to do this in a fashion where they don't look like children. Number two, though, and I think this is probably the most important part, we need to get somebody President Trump respects and somebody that he will feel comfortable with that's not out there just to kind of beat him up. Because what I saw the other night was a defensive President Trump who felt like he just had to keep getting words in because he wasn't being treated fairly. And when when he gets on the defensive, he's a street fighter, and he just says stupid things, and he looks immature. But in an environment where he knows that no matter what Biden says, the moderator is going to look at him and give him a shot, I think he'll keep his mouth shut.
Thank you, Rob. Let's go to William. William, what do you think?
Hey, good morning, President. God bless our America. I think, yes, and absolutely, we need need another debate, another two debates. And I think instead of just 2 minutes to begin with that starts, they should have 5 minutes that each of them should have to go straight forward. Because I've seen that, my opinion is, they didn't have enough time to get any issues out in 120 seconds, you know. And whoever the moderator is, needs to shut up. You know what I mean? It ain't about the moderator. It's about the men up there. You know, give them time to speak what they had. And, you know, and like the young gentleman just said prior to me, you know, it ain't right to double-team our president like they did on this last debate. And I think he did good because, you know, like you said, he was defending himself. I mean, no one's giving Mr. Trump any kind of, you know, break at all with these Democrats attacking him for everything he's worth and never giving him. And the media, I think Mr. Trump needs to go ahead and take the media out to the whipping shed and whip them good.
Hey, but William, I got to run, brother. I don't want to get into a commentary about the media. We all know that. We all get it. I just want to stay focused on the debate. I'd be a proponent of letting the two of them just sit down, hand them a card that says, here's your topic for the next 15 minutes. And see what happens. But, Alex, what do you think?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Yes, definitely more debates. I'm all for the second and third debate. It doesn't matter to me what is said or done. I'm not changing my mind, but I do think that we need another debate. And the theme for my debate would be fundamentals, so we could actually have a discussion on policy. A debate is supposed to be an exchange of ideas, and it was definitely not that on Tuesday night. And my question format, again, more time for each candidate, but I want to know, what is your record and what do you believe on fundamental topics?
All right, Alex, I like that. Well said. Let's go to Laura. Hi, Laura.
Hi. First of all, I think there should be another debate. However, and I say that with a big however, there needs to be a different moderator.
Oh, yeah. Chris Wallace wouldn't do the next one.
Yeah, he doesn't need to do any, ever. He is horrible.
Well, I hate to tell you, Laura, it's probably going to get worse with the next set of moderators, but go ahead.
But with that said, I didn't hear one thing that Joe talked about that he's done in the entire 30-something years he's been in office.
47.
Sorry. I was wrong. I was 10 years off. In 47 years, he hasn't done anything.
Hang on, Laura. I'm going to let you finish up on the other side if you want to hold on. If you don't, I understand. 16 minutes after the hour, taking calls at 205-WFLA.
WFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
And free.
And iHeart's radio station.
Just want to know what your thoughts are on whether there should be another debate or two, and if so, the format you would like to see. And if not, I'd like to hear from you as well. But Laura was finishing up a point. Laura, go ahead.
With extra ice and lemonade.
Yeah.
So you want Arnold Palmer?
Yes.
Oh, okay. $4.49.
She's in a drive-thru window.
Hey,
we want fries. Yeah. Tell her we want fries.
Yeah, Laura, hash browns are fries for us. Whoops. That was too good. She wanted to hold through the break, and then she got caught. Let's go to Tiffany. Hi, Tiffany. You had a drive-thru? You had a drive-thru by any chance?
No, I'm at my house.
All right. What are your thoughts on another... I'm sorry. I'm still laughing at that. Another debate.
My thoughts are we do need to have another one, but I definitely think that the questions need to be better formatted. They need more time. I would really like to hear questions perhaps from Americans who have done their research. Like, I would really like to have the media and Joe Biden address all of the issues with the way he treats women. There's pictures everywhere, and the Me Too movement is silent. And that is something that is driving me absolutely crazy on a personal level.
The hypocrisy is unavoidable, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It's awful. And the evidence is everywhere.
Yeah. All right, Tiffany, thanks very much. Appreciate that. Let's go to Randy. Hi, Randy.
Hey, good morning. I've already made my drive-through stop.
Nice. Okay.
No worries there. I don't really think we need another debate except for just the entertainment factor and the memes.
Mm-hmm.
There are no undecided voters at this point. But the reason they're saying that, you know, we don't really need a debate is because their side is losing. If you're winning, let's debate. But if the Biden camp says no more debates, I think Trump needs to hold a debate and him on a stage and a screen and have a moderator say, okay, what about X? Trump can make his case, and then they can play what Biden has said himself over the years and recently about whatever the topic is.
Yeah, create one then.
Yep.
Yep, I'm with you there. Randy, thanks very much. I appreciate that. Let's go to Jeffrey. Hi, Jeffrey. Thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts?
Yes, very good. I've got two thoughts. The first one is a serious. The second's a little jocular. But the first is I believe it is a national security breach to have those two guys who are going to have their hands on the nuclear possibilities of our nation, to have the world to see who those two guys are. I think that's a serious national security breach. I do not think they should have another debate together. And secondly, if they do, I think Putin ought to be the one who's the moderator and serve them both tea.
Well, I'm trying to figure out where you're coming from on that first point there, Jeffrey, because...
My first point is that those are the guys who are going to have those hands on our nuclear weapon systems.
Yeah, but what do you mean not see them? Everyone knows who they are.
Well, I'll tell you what. If anybody really watched them the other night, you realize that we have a couple of very immature, emotionally deficient people who are pretty good representatives of the American people, unfortunately, as presidential candidates. We've got what we deserve.
All right, man. Thanks very much. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hey, so I've got an idea that I think that we all know who we're going to vote for. So a debate is kind of silly at this point in time.
Okay.
But I've got an idea that I think will work, and we could probably pay off the national debt with it.
Hmm.
So Joe Rogan has offered to moderate a debate. But let's go cage match, bare knuckles, you know, three rounds, and, hey, let them have it out. We were all wanting that the other night anyway. We could do a pay-per-view, and, hey, we'd pay off the national debt overnight. Great. We'd have it.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate that. Paul, I'm sorry I'm not going to get to you. Out of time. We got news coming up.
That's what I said. Just throw them in a room with a couple pair of boxing gloves, lock the door, turn the cameras on. Let's see what happens. That would be classic.
Well, we know Joe's got hairy legs. Turns white in the sun. 27 minutes after the hour. Let's do some news. Come back with more on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Someone has to say it. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
All right, the big stories in the press box this morning. Kind of a moving target. I feel like I need to circle back on this because it's not getting enough attention. According to declassified information, in September 2016, U.S. intelligence officials forwarded
an investigative referral on Hillary Clinton purportedly approving a plan concerning, this is a quote from the memo, a plan concerning U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump and Russian hackers hampering U.S. elections. It was done in order to distract the public from her email scandal. Do you remember the timing of that? We talked about the timing of that. Isn't this interesting how when people are trying to get a handle on, wait, where's all your email going? Why are you using a private laptop? Why aren't you using the government servers? This is classified information you've got on laptops that are ending up who knows where. And we found out that some of that information ended up in the hands of and the laptop of Anthony Weiner.
And one of them was her BlackBerry, too, wasn't it?
Yes.
Like she had a bunch of stuff on her BlackBerry.
And so this memo comes out. The referral was sent to Comey, Deputy Assistant Director of Counterintelligence Peter Strzok. Lindsey Graham, questioning Comey yesterday, says, and I quote, "You don't remember getting an investigatory lead from the intelligence community? September 7, 2016, U.S. intelligence officials forwarded an investigative referral to James Comey and Strzok concerning Clinton's approval of a plan about Trump as a means of distraction?" Comey's answer, and I quote, "That doesn't ring any bells with me." Comey is lying. He's absolutely being dishonest. There is no way he didn't know. He was the recipient of the memo. This is now all about not going to jail. And he is going to do whatever. Yeah, you know, I don't remember anything like that. Okay, you don't remember the nominee for the Democrat Party. Generating interest from the intelligence departments of this country, concerned about her actions relative to her competitor for president of the United States, that's not ringing a bell? Graham followed with, "A bunch of crap to be used against an American citizen. You don't recall this, Comey?" Doesn't sound familiar. Where on the believability factor is that for you?
No, it doesn't appear on the scale. He's either lying or he is the worst FBI person ever to do the job in the history of ever.
And he claims the other. He claims, no, I was good. I'm a patriot.
Yeah, I'm a patriot. I just so am horrible if you're such at my job.
If you're such a patriot, why weren't you paying attention to this? See, this undergirds the accusation that all of the attention that Trump has been given by Congress should have been directed and still should be directed at Hillary Clinton. Mm. She was working with the Russians. She was the source of the dossier. She paid for it, along with the Democrat National Committee. That's a fact. They paid Michael Steele. A dossier that British intelligence said there's no credibility here. None. There is nothing corroborated inside this. Where's the reporting of any of this? 40 minutes after the hour.
Show with Preston Scott.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Terry writes in, "I believe we should have more debates. The moderator should be someone that has credibility. I vote for the moderator to be Rush Limbaugh, Mark Levin, or even Preston Scott."
I vote Sam Jackson.
We couldn't possibly get through it without the mute button.
But you know what? They wouldn't go over their time, would they?
Someone that will push both candidates to have clear answers and not allow them to act like a petulant child. The next debate can turn off the microphones all they want, because I have no doubt that Donald Trump will continue to push out the truth, whether he has a microphone or not. See, that's why I think, you know, if you're going to go to a format where they're, you know, with a moderator, I think you got to put them in separate rooms, and I think they have to be literally where the mic gets cut and there's not another mic that can pick it up from the other guy.
Right.
That's just my opinion, if you want to do that format. Now, I don't think that's a debate. That's a controlled press conference. I think a debate is let them sit down and try to act like grown-ups. And I think in that format, I think the president has no choice. I think, and I think he would be really smart to allow there to be discussion. Joe will walk into it. He absolutely will. Now, we're not going to have that format, so it's all wishful thinking. It's not going to happen. We're not going to go Lincoln Douglas, even though I think we should. Remember, and Rush made this point yesterday, these are debates. They're supposed to, you know, fight over ideas. They don't get allowed to. I mean, in defense of both candidates, in defense of Biden and defense of Trump, you can't do it in 1 minute. You can't do it in 90 seconds or even 120 seconds. You can't do policy for the United States of America in a 2 minute timed answer.
Yeah, the whole format for these things is designed for failure when it comes to explanations. We're asking these guys some of the most important questions we've had in the past year or two of their running for president.
Yeah.
You've asking these important questions and then giving them 90 seconds to answer something that could set our foreign policy for the next 4 years.
And in fairness to Joe Biden, in fairness to Donald Trump, you can't summarize their thoughts on climate change, their thoughts on the economy, their thoughts on tax policy, their thoughts on healthcare in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You can't. And again, I'm being fair to both of them in saying that. Now, let me address this, because we talked about it earlier in the program and I made a note. I wanted to discuss it again. There is this thing out there that Joe Biden was wearing a hearing device, et cetera, et cetera. And the president, look, the president clearly got some kind of tip, because they wanted there to be a check of Joe Biden prior to the debate to make sure he didn't have any electronic devices. They requested that. They did make that request. It's official. I have that. That did happen. They were turned down in that request. But there's this thing going around that Joe Biden had something taped to his wrist. Let me explain something. Maybe that was some medical device. Dallas was joking about the fact that keeps him rejuvenated.
they keep turning him back on.
I personally think, let me just say this. There was no listening device. No. He did not have any wire. He didn't have a wireless earplug in his ear. He didn't. And if he did, it wouldn't have been effective for him in that format. It just, human nature does certain things when someone's talking to you in a private earpiece. People do certain things. You have to be trained, a trained professional, to hear something and not react to what you're hearing. You have to be. He's not. He's not that sophisticated, and very few people are. I'm not picking on him. What that likely was the tip of a rosary that he wears around his wrist in remembrance of his son. I'm satisfied with that. Because there's no evidence that anything happened in that debate that would lead you to think he was getting tipped. So anyway, I hope we just kind of put that to rest. 46 minutes after the hour. I'm loving the weather we're moving into. I can only hope we don't have to go through October with some more heat spells, because it's possible that it could happen. That's the norm. If we're getting chilly and staying chilly, we're getting to the low 70s, into the 60s over the next few weeks and staying there, we might have ourselves a cold winter for our part of the world. Now, understand, I was raised in Minnesota. I know cold. I know a thing or two because I've experienced a thing or two.
Yeah.
You know?
I lived up off, on the lake in Rochester, New York for a little while.
There you go.
43 inches of snow in 48 hours one night. We shut down I-90, Syracuse, Buffalo, and Rochester. I've seen snow.
And there's nothing quite like
no.
cold that comes off a lake.
Lake effect snow is the weirdest thing in the world because it can be jet blue, clear skies, not a cloud in the sky, and drop 2 foot of snow.
Well, and not just the snow. It's the type of cold that oh. comes with moisture.
Oh, it's like needles.
Damp cold
yeah.
penetrates to the bone like nothing else.
Yeah.
Anyway, I am enjoying this for the first day of October. Tomorrow on the radio program, the sheriff of Leon County, Walt McNeil. I always look forward to my visit with the sheriff. Always willing to take questions and talk about things, and so we will do that. We'll have What's the Beef Friday, and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will join us.
Oh, is he coming?
He's not. Nope, but we will have the governor for 10 minutes at 8:35, 7:35 Central. And so the governor, we will talk about the reopening of the state. We'll talk about what that means. I'm going to try to ask him if we have anything in the pipeline as far as court cases to prevent communities from being shut down and locked down like they have been. I think this has gone to the head of the folks in Leon County. They just the evidence isn't there to support this what we're into. And I'm sorry yeah. for all of you that think that we should be wearing masks. You're wrong. Wear one if you want, but no, we shouldn't. We shouldn't. You can. And okay, you can over there too. If you want to, you can.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have to.
Knock yourself out, but leave me out of it.
Too much damage has been done.
Yep.
Way too much. But that's tomorrow on the radio program. Can't wait. Morning Show 180. Look back at the program in 180 seconds or less. I will visit this again, but I'm going to go ahead and mention it here. Former chief science officer for Pfizer. Second wave faked on false positive COVID tests. Quote, pandemic is over. That's just take it for what it is. Disney laying off 28,000 employees. Speaking of COVID, why? Because California won't let them reopen Disneyland, and they're dying. There are so many things impacted by this COVID on an economic front. Can you imagine? I'm telling you right now, if Joe Biden gets elected, this is going to end within weeks. It just is. Biden's going to be prepared to put a mask mandate in place, even though he can't. And he's been told that. And so because he can't, then we've turned the corner. Yeah. Bottom line is California's killing their economy yet again, even more. And Disney just can't take it. They're having to lay off almost 30,000 people. However, the U.S. private economy, almost 750,000 jobs in September. That's 100,000 more than was estimated. All sectors, including that sector that Barack Obama said was gone forever, manufacturing, one of the leading sectors of job growth. Yeah, how about that? Joe Biden says he doesn't support the Green New Deal. Said that in the debate. His campaign website says different. Says, in fact, it's crucial. Bless his heart. And James Comey doesn't ring a bell. That memo that he received from intelligence telling him about Hillary Clinton being behind the whole Russia thing. It's not registering. How about that? Someday he's going to utter the infamous phrase, I misremembered. Hey, thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.